keep locking you okay. And then put it where it's comfortable for you, okay?
All right. I'm starting the live stream here too. And I hope that you all can see me and hear me. This is a very unusual situation. I've never been like this, and neither have you. And I do miss. I felt like getting up, getting ready to go to church, go to the services, because we've done it so much over the years. And it really feels strange not being able to go. But let me tell you how much I love and appreciate all of you. And this is something we couldn't have done several years ago, that we could have met like this and worshiped together by these means. And I'm very, very thankful that God has provided us these means. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I hope I'll be able to preach and make myself understood this way, sitting here at my desk in my office. But I do want to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. And you're getting up to listen to us this evening. And I just wish we all could meet together. But maybe soon. Maybe soon we'll be able to. Now, if you got your Bibles handy, turn to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. And I want us to look at something Joseph knew and we didn't. It's like our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows. He knew us when we didn't know Him. And so we're continuing with the Old Testament pictures of Christ. And so in Genesis chapter 42, in verse 8, it says, "And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not." Joseph knew his brethren, but his brethren knew him not. Joseph came out of great tribulation, to ascend the throne, to go from the prince, the prison to the palace. He's now ascended to the highest place of privilege and honor. And like our Lord Jesus Christ, he was despised by his brethren and exalted by Pharaoh to be his own right hand. And our Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And oh, and I tell you, and God exalted his blessed son to his right hand, and he's the King of Kings. And when Joseph, when his humiliation, he's so despised and rejected. And our Lord Jesus Christ, while he is on this earth, he was despised in his humiliation, coming down and assuming human nature. You know, it says in Luke 19:14 that they sent messengers to him and said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And one thing that they said was, "We know who he is. We know who he is. He can't be God. He can't be the Son of God. He's the carpenter's son." So he was despised as a man. Now I want to read verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 42 and bring a message here, and we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ clearly and plainly, I believe. "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, 'Why do you look one upon another?' And he said, 'Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die.' And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, sent Jacob not with his brethren, for he said, 'Lest peradventure might befall him.'" Just 10 men went. Joseph was missing, and Benjamin was the baby, the son of his right hand. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was unknown by his brethren, but Joseph knew all of his brethren. He recognized them. He knew who they were when they got there. And so he knew his brethren. And he is their kinsman. They didn't know it. He was their Savior. They didn't know it. He was their Redeemer, and they didn't know it. And as long as he remains unknown to them, his dealings and how he deals with them is very mysterious. And that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ dealt with us, our kinsmen, our Redeemer, our Savior, until he makes himself known to us, and his ways and his dealings with us by the Holy Ghost seem strange, seem mysterious. But look at, first of all, look at the attitude that Joseph assumed when he saw his brethren. Down in verse 23, it said, "And they knew not that Joseph understood them. They were talking among themselves." And Joseph, it said, "they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter." And that's the way it is with us. Before they were reconciled to him, he couldn't talk to them as brothers, as friends, face to face. He was the ruler. He was the one ruling over them. And he understood everything there was about them. But yet they did not know him. So he used an interpreter. And Job said this in Job 33:23. He said, "If there be one messenger among a thousand to show him his uprightness, to show the Lord Jesus Christ his uprightness." And you know, the only way we can understand God and understand his word and ever be known by God and know God is through the Holy Ghost. He's the interpreter of our Lord's dealings with us. In John chapter 16, if you want to look there with me, in John chapter 16, look what it says over here. Look with me at it. John 16, talking about, we wouldn't, you know, the Holy Ghost is the interpreter of our Lord's dealings with us and for us. Because we wouldn't have known if he hadn't have taught us. Our Lord Jesus said in John 16:12, "I have yet many things to say unto you." I've got a lot of things to say. I've got a whole Bible of things to say unto you. "But you cannot bear them now." You're not able to get it. You can't understand it. "Howbeit when he the Spirit of truth is come," he will come when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, "he'll guide you into all truth." We can't go into truth. We can't find truth. We don't know truth. He has to guide us into the truth. And he'll guide us into all truth concerning Christ, concerning God. "For he shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit of truth shall not speak of himself. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath, they are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." He has to be the one to take the sayings of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the glory of Christ, and he has to show us unto them. And we don't know the truth unless he guides us into the truth. "And while we were strangers to him," as these men are strangers to Joseph. Joseph knows them, and he's a stranger to them. "And we're strangers to our Lord Jesus Christ." And before he deals with us in grace and mercy, he can only deal with us as a ruler, not as our brother. But I tell you, beloved, we should be thankful that he's pleased to speak to us in any way at all. But look at the way he speaks first. The first way he speaks to them. Look here in verse 7. Genesis 42:7. "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food." And down in verse 9, look what he says. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Ye are come. Now he spake roughly with them. You'd think now he'd be so happy to see them, so glad to see them. But no, he spake roughly to them. And in the margin, he said he spake hard things to them. And that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ did. And he spake roughly unto them. And that's the way God does with us. He speaks pretty rough to us at the beginning. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was preaching, and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And he said, I am that true bread which came down from heaven. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And our Lord Jesus said, it's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. And it's like when our Lord preached to Nicodemus, and he came to him by night. Nicodemus didn't understand what our Lord Jesus Christ was saying. And he told Nicodemus, if I told you of earthly things, how will you understand heavenly things? And he spoke rough. And then the woman at the well, when he met the woman at the well, he spake hard things to her. He said, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. And our Lord Jesus said, you told the truth. He knew her alive. And he spoke hard things to her. Go call your husband. I don't have one. You've had five. And so our Lord speaks hard things to us to get our attention. I mean, beloved, you know, he speaks pretty hard things to us. When we first hear the gospel, they are indeed hard things to find out how sinful we are, to find out how holy he is, to find out how sovereign he is, and to find out that he has an election of grace. All those were hard things. And unless he speaks hard things to us, we'll never listen till he gets our attention. And he will get a man's attention. And when he's got your attention, he'll have it for the rest of your life. But the thing he has to do is he has to bring his brethren to a sense of their sinfulness. A sense of their sin. They don't know him. And they don't regret what they did to him. They're not sorry that they sold him into slavery. They're not sorry that they took him from his father. I'll tell you this, beloved, a soul will never love and appreciate forgiveness till they have something to be forgiven of. And that's men's problems. They don't have anything to be forgiven of. But it's like that woman that washed the feet of our Savior with her tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. Our Lord Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For he that's forgiven of much, loves much. And I tell you, only the people that love and appreciate being forgiven is those who have need of forgiveness. And I want you to notice, not only did he speak roughly to them, but I tell you, when he spoke roughly to them and said, oh, spake roughly to them and called them spies, they said, you've come here to spy out the land. You've come here to see our nakedness here. But oh, after Joseph dealt with them this way and their speech toward them, look what happened in verse 21. Look what happened in verse 21. And they said one to another, we are truly, verily guilty concerning our brother, and that he saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And oh, beloved, I tell you what, this is what happened when how Joseph dealt with them. And this is how it is when God deals with us. When he has come, when the interpreters come, when the Holy Spirit comes, the first thing he does is he convinces of sin. That's the first thing he does, is convince a man of sins. And he did his work here. They're convicted. They know they're guilty. But that's not the way they started out. Look back over in verse 11. Look how they first started out talking to Joseph. And the way we start out talking to our Lord Jesus Christ and acting this way. And they said in verse 11, "We are all one man's sons. We are true men, honest men, good men." That's what they're saying to Joseph. That's what we say to God. "Oh, we're not no spies. We've not done any of those things. We're good men. We're true men." And oh, he said unto them, "No, but you've come to see the nakedness of the land you're come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. And listen to this, and one is not." They did not know what they'd done. They didn't know they're standing in the one's presence whom they had so mistreated. And Joseph said unto them, "That is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies." And he said, "Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go forth from here, not go forth hence, except your youngest brother comes down here." Got to bring your youngest brother here. "Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, that you may show to be telling the truth, whether there be any truth in you." That's the thing God says. Is there any truth in you? "Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you're spies." And he put them all together in ward for 3 days. He put these men in prison. He set them in prison. He locked them up. He come to make them understand what an awful wretch they were. And now, beloved, then they says, "Yes, we're guilty." They're in jail. They're in prison. And they're talking this. And that's the way it is when Christ comes and the Holy Spirit comes. Now their sin is before them. Now it's one. Now they've got no place to hide. Now they know, what are we going to do? And sin is made exceeding sinful to them now. Especially in the presence of the one whom against they sin. Oh, his blood's required of us now. Oh, his blood. We're surely guilty. God's opened their heart to Joseph's. Their heart's been opened now. And he bound them in prison. Well, how long did he leave them in prison? Until it was time for him to let them go. Until he appointed their freedom. And when he did set them free, they would surely appreciate being set free. And oh, listen, this is a blessing. So I tell you what, Joseph, the way he spoke roughly to them, then put them in jail, put them in prison. And I tell you, God brings us to the prison house of sin, and we can't get out. We can't get out. The only person can let us out is like Joseph let his brethren out. Only Christ can save us from prison. He came to set the prisoner free. And I tell you, and here's the only way that they're going to be saved. The only way they're going to be saved is by a substitute. They're going to be saved by a substitute. And that's what Joseph says to them. He said in verse 15, he said, "You'll not go forth his except your youngest brother comes here." Huh? "Send one of you, just one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison." And then, beloved, then he says there in verse 17, "Put them all in prison to 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you be true men," look what he says, "let one of your brethren be bound in the house of prison, the house of your prison, go ye carry famine in the houses." But he said, look what else he said here in verse 20. "But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified then, and ye shall not die." The only way you're not going to die, the only way in the world that you never come into my presence again, the only way in the world I'm going to accept you, is for you to bring your younger brother to me. I want him set before me. I want to see him. And if you're going to leave somebody here, and somebody's going to stay here, and you're going to bring him back, and if you don't, you'll die. Surely you'll die unless he comes and you bring him back to me. And this is exactly the way salvation is. It's by a substitute. It's by one taking the place of another. And beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his holy name, when God called us to give an account before him, and we were so bound by sin, bound by guilt, bound by our wretchedness, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree and took our sins upon himself. And beloved, God says now, because he bore our sins, now we can approach God. Now we can live. Now we've been delivered. Now we've been saved. How? By a substitute. God said he'd provide himself a lamb, and that lamb was his own blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that he himself put himself between us and God. And now, beloved, because of his blood, his death, he went before God. And now when he died, we died. When he was buried, we was buried. When he arose, we arose with him. And when he ascended on high, we ascended on high with him. But this is what Joseph says, except you bring your younger brother to me, you're going to die. You're going to die. But they came back. They came back. And look what a blessed, blessed privilege happened when they came back. In chapter 43 and verse 16. They came back. They came back. And look what it says here in verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, they brought the substitute. They brought the one he said to bring. They weren't going to go back down there. They told their father Joseph, we are not going back down there. We can't face that man. He told us if we didn't bring our little brother, didn't bring our youngest brother, we couldn't go. We'd die. And if we stay here, we're going to starve to death. So I tell you, Joseph said, oh my, you're going to take me to my grave, taking my youngest son with me. And I've already been bereaved of one, taken one's been taken away from me, even Joseph. And oh my, so if you send Benjamin down there, what am I going to do if he don't bring him back with me? And then in verse 16 again, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, oh my, they did what he said. We brought Benjamin. And our beloved, that's the son of the right hand. That's what Benjamin was. He was the son of Jacob's right hand. Christ our Lord is the son of God's love. The son that sits right now at the right hand of God with all power and authority vested in him. And then look what he said after they brought Benjamin to him. He said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. Bring them home. You notice he didn't say, now listen, you fellas, go by my house is over here. You go over there and find it. He says, you bring them home. And the only way we're ever going to get home, the only way we're going to get in the presence of Christ is to be brought. And he brought us to himself. He brought us to himself. He said, bring these men home, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Oh, they went from being scared to death without bringing Benjamin. When Joseph saw Benjamin, they've acknowledged their sin, said, oh, we're guilty. Oh, we're guilty. God's found out our iniquity. Now what grace? What grace Joseph is showing them. Now they're going to be brought into Joseph's house. He's the prince. He's the exalted one. He's the savior. He's the one that's got all the food. He's the one that's got all the authority. And he says, you come home. and you dine with me. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, He told His disciples when they were on the sea fishing, and He asked them, said, have you caught anything? And they said, no, Lord, we don't have anything. Have you had any food? No, no. And they saw a fire, and coals on the fire, and fish on the fire, and some bread. And our Lord Jesus Christ said to them, come and dine. Come and dine. And that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. What grace. These men went back fishing. Peter and John and James. And all of them went back fishing. Went back to their old professions. But Christ called them. Come with me. Come. Come and dine. Sit down here and eat. And that's what Joseph's telling these men now. You brought that substitute. You brought that one that I wanted to see. And God says when you brought the substitute, when we come before Him with the blessed name of Christ, with the precious blood of Christ, with the righteousness of Christ, oh, we didn't have nothing. But He said, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Oh, what a blessed, blessed thing it is to come and dine and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Joseph's compassion and our Lord's compassion. You know, three times we find Joseph weeping. Three times we find Joseph weeping. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He wept. But let me show you the three times that He wept here in Genesis 42 and verse 24. And he turned from himself when he spake by an interpreter. He turned himself about from them and wept. And wept. And then turned to them again and communed with them. And took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. But he turned himself and wept. Oh, he had compassion on them as they stood before him. Look in chapter 43 and verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. But all look in chapter 45 and verse 2. And Joseph, he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And oh, he had such compassion, the way his brethren had treated him, but he still had such compassion on them. He wept for them. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he stood before Lazarus too, the scripture says that he wept, that he cried. And then when he stood over Jerusalem, and he wept over Jerusalem, said, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. So to think about the compassion, how many times did our Lord Jesus Christ say when He looked on the crowd, He had compassion and He fed them and He healed them and He took care of them. He said they're like sheep not having a shepherd. And oh, even when He was speaking roughly, there was tenderness in His heart because He turned around where they couldn't see Him and He wept. And he wept. Now I'm not saying that our Lord Jesus Christ weeps over us, but he wept over men while he was on this earth. And beloved, I do know this, that he has an incredible, his compassions fail not. They're new every morning, and his mercies are new every morning. And all the compassion that Christ has, that compassion means to be able to enter into the feelings of another, passion. And it means to come in to the passion of another, the feelings and the hurt and the anguish of another. And so when he was speaking roughly, there was tenderness in his heart. Oh, may God give us compassion. Give us compassion when we see people in need, when we see people hurting. God, give us compassion. Paul said, you know, I've told you that they are, I tell you, even weeping now, he said, that there's men who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He wept over that. He didn't rejoice in it. He wasn't angry. And I'll tell you something, beloved. Love will always win. Love will always win. Always come out. And love will never fail. And it's the one blessed thing. You know, the thing that broke our hearts more than anything, our hard hearts, was to find out that by the Holy Spirit, find out from our Lord Jesus Christ, to find out from His Word that He loved us with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness He drew us. Oh, what a blessed thing that we didn't love Him. We didn't even know Him. But He loved us before we ever were. And then when the time of love come, He spread His skirt over us. And in His comeliness, His beauty, we were made comely. And all beloved, it had loved us with an everlasting love. And Hosea says this. He said, I will love them freely. No, they'll not have to do anything. They'll not have to do anything to cause me to love them. They can never do anything to cause me to love them. They could do 1,000 things to keep me from love, but there's not nothing they could do to ever keep me from loving them. And once He loves us, and to find out that it was love that caused Him, He loved, having loved His own, and having loved His brethren, He went to that cruel cross and bore our sins, and all is because He loved us. And beloved, oh, to love us freely. And He'll never stop loving us. And He loved us long, long, long. And that's what broke my heart. And it still breaks my heart to think that I could sin against such blessed love as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice now that He gained a victory. Joseph, he gained a victory over his brethren. And he got what he wanted out of them. Now see, look down here in verse 44 in chapter verse 33. Now you know the story about Judah. Judah is the one who stood here. Judah was the one who was talking. And back up in verse 14 there. He fell on the ground before Joseph. And he said this, You keep me. He said in verse 33. Look in verse 31. It shall come to pass that the lad is not with us, that he will die. Talking about his father Jacob. And shall go down with his gray hairs unto the sorrow, to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go home, go up with his brethren. See, Judah was the one who sold the Lord Jesus Christ. Judah is the one who ended up mistreating the young man. It said in Genesis 37, in verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And now this very Judah is saying, I told my father I'd be surety for him. I'd stand good for him. I would pay him. And if he does not get to go home and go back to the father, go back to my father, then let me bear the blame. And that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ was. He was our surety. He bore the blame for every one that the father gave him. Took the blame for everything that we ever did. But you know, after he took the blame, you know what happened? We are now blameless, harmless, undefiled. We are blameless and holy without blemish before Him in love. And that's what He said, let me abide instead of the land. Let me be a bondman to my Lord. And that's the way Christ was. He became a bondman to His Father and stood good as our surety, the guarantee that we'd all be saved and brought home. And what a change, what a change took place in Judah. He is the one who persecuted his brother, sold him, and is now willing to be a bond slave in his brother's stead. What's happened? What's happened to him? What changed him like this? The way Joseph acted. Joseph being exalted. Joseph having all the authority. Joseph having all the power. That's what changed Judah, and made him willing to be a bond slave. And our Lord Jesus Christ on His throne works this change in His people. Makes us new creatures in Christ, and causes the love of Christ to constrain us. And I tell you, that's what's happened. We had such a change because Christ sat on His throne, gave us a new heart, gave us a new nature, because He stood good for us. And He Himself said, Father, if they don't get to come home with You, if You don't come home with us and come home with them, then let Me bear the blame. And for everyone whom Christ deals not take the glory, He'll bear the blame. And do you reckon one for whom He bore the blame for will not be able to go home? Oh yes, we'll all be able to go home. And I pray, dear sisters and brothers, my dear beloved, oh how I wish we could have met tonight, but we couldn't. But I hope that message was a blessing to you. I hope it was an encouragement to you. I hope it taught you something and showed you something about our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's bow our hearts together and let us pray. And then God willing, I'll see you Sunday morning doing the same thing here. Preaching again Sunday morning. Let's bow our hearts together and pray. Our Father, oh our gracious Father in heaven, how blessedly glorious You are. How gracious You are. How tender You are. And Lord, forgive us that we never prayed before the service began. But Lord, we do pray for our brethren who are among us who are frail and weak. And Lord, we thank You for those who have listened tonight. Pray that You is pleased to bless their hearts, bless their understandings. And Lord Jesus, I know we'd all love to meet. And Lord, at Your time, we'll be able to. But oh Father, we pray again for our nation, for our country. Have mercy upon it. We're sinners. We're a nation of sinners. We're a nation that's forgot You. But Lord, You rule and You reign. And we ask for You to have mercy as we confess our sins of the nation, the sins of our leaders, the sins of the religious world. God, have mercy on them and forgive them. God, bless our dear brethren. Bless every wart, bless every home, bless every heart, bless every family. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Your sins are pardoned and you are free. They're all taken away. They're all taken away. They're all taken away. They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away. Our sins are all taken away. My sins are all taken away. Good night and God bless you. See you Sunday, Lord willing. You wouldn't believe how many people. My goodness, you wouldn't believe how many people was on there. Oh my. My goodness, I lasted 40 minutes.
Is it off?
Yeah.
How many were on there?
Oh my goodness, there was people from Fairmont, there's people up in Ashland, there's people everywhere. I mean, their names just keep coming up. Their little hearts keep coming up through there. It's astronomical how many people are on there.